Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 95 of From Long Distance to Marriage. We have a listener requested episode, kind of, today. Someone got in touch with us on Instagram a couple weeks ago, a few weeks ago now, and wanted to kind of get some insight on how to know when it's right or the right time, or how to know if you should or shouldn't make the decision to go ahead and close the distance when you're in a long-distance relationship. So rather than kind of go back with a definite answer, you know, this is a topic that we thought deserved an episode of its own, really, didn't we?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much to this. Everyone's situation is going to be different. Obviously, the person that got in touch with us, their question was specific to their situation. But, you know, we always kind of like to put a disclaimer that, you know, while we have lots of experience, we've talked to lots of different long-distance couples, we don't know the ins and outs of your relationship like you do. So rather than giving you a yes, you should or no, you shouldn't kind of answer, we'd rather just pose things to talk about and ways to look at the situation.
Yeah, and the first thing to mention in this one is, you know, our ultimate guide to long-distance relationships covers a lot of this. We wrote that specifically for people to strengthen your relationship while you're apart. So, you know, in there, we cover everything from how to communicate, things to talk about, what dates you can do while you're apart, how to plan for the future. We've got a whole section, chapter on closing the distance, which includes preparing to and, you know, having the conversations with your friends and family at home about what you're doing. So, you know, for anyone who is in this position, you know, obviously we really recommend reading that, because we'll talk in this episode about it, but there's much more detail, much more instruction and advice on what to do from one moment to the next in that guide. You can get that on our website, longdistancetomarriage.com. There's a resources section, and in there you can grab the guide. And you get it immediately. You know, it's obviously a digital download. You can start reading it now. But, you know, yeah, we'll get into it in this episode and our thoughts on, I suppose, some of the things you're likely to be thinking and coming up against. And, you know, I think the first thing to say is closing the distance should make some things easier, but it's not something you want to do if you feel like it's going to save your relationship.
Totally.
You know, if you're having problems and the relationship doesn't feel like what it once was or what you wish it was or your ideal version of a relationship, and you think that's just because you're apart, it's not. And, you know, again, we've spoken at length in the past, and we've also included this in the guide, that when you do close the distance, it has its own pressures. Like, it was a very difficult time, especially when we got our own place together, wasn't it? Like, you know, there's a lot of arguments. Because really your problem isn't that you're apart, that's just a difficulty. But if someone's not putting effort in when you're apart, if they're not communicating, if they're not attentive, if they're not making you feel of value, that's probably also going to be the case in person, in real life, except possibly for, you know, the novelty factor when it's brand new. But then on top of that, you're actually getting to know each other in close proximity for an extended period of time, and that brings its own pressures. So if you just think we need to close the distance to save our relationship, that to me is not a reason to do it.
Yeah, and I kind of wanted to take a step back, didn't want to ruin your train of thought there, concerning the guide and the topics in there. So I think the honest answer to this question is how to tell if it's worth it to close the distance is we can't actually tell you that. You have to do a lot of talking and reflecting within your relationship, within yourself as a person individually and with your partner, and things like our guide and potentially other resources as well can kind of give you the stepping stones for the work that you need to do together as a couple and as an individual to find out if you want to take that step and if it's worth it. The person, you know, who messaged us kind of with this question said, you know, they'd had some problems in their relationship, didn't shed any light onto what they were, but I think it's worth remembering, which you kind of touched on just a minute ago, is part of the problems in your relationship when you're long distance can be the fact that you're long distance. It does make certain things harder. It makes a lot of things harder, to be honest. But again, it's like when people whose marriage is on the rocks decide to have a baby to try and fix it. Like, there will be things that will be lovely and wonderful about that, but it's not addressing the root of the problem. And exactly what Rich said, like, oh, things are really horrible. I hate being apart from you. We have a lot of problems. Let's just move in together and close this distance and expect that to fix it isn't necessarily the answer. But certain things will be easier when you close the distance. So I just kind of wanted to tap back to that.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like, it's what I was saying, don't want that to be misconstrued as everything needs to be perfect before you do it. But if you feel like you're on the verge of breaking up, if your relationship on the rocks, if you're not getting
what you need,
the value, like, or feeling the value, yeah, that is one thing. If it's just a case of, you know, you want to see each other more, you're finding that difficult, like, you're really missing each other, like, those are all normal things that, yeah, those are good reasons to do it.
Yeah, and I think it's worth remembering as well that all relationships have their rocky points, their issues, their just problems that go on and on. I mean, some people might just hit a few rough patches over the course of their relationship. Some couples will have one thing that, you know, kind of crops up from time to time, and it's just always that one sticking point they can't get past. You know, we have
there are things we used to disagree on or argue about that we just don't anymore.
Well, and there's also...
So you're, like, if you've got one of those, it's okay. Don't think, oh, well, we keep arguing about this one thing. What will happen is you'll either just come to accept each other's points of view on it. You know, maybe one of you will change your mind on it. But, you know, that's not a reason for you to think it won't work out. But anyway, this is probably enough of the negativity about when not to do it. So when to do it...
Well, firstly, one last thing on the negativity. If another episode that might be helpful is one we did quite a while back, and that was episode 36, which was how to know when to call it quits in a long-distance relationship. Yeah. So that might be just a background resource. If you are really struggling and you do feel like maybe things have run their course or something has happened that makes you feel like you do want to end things, that might just be something you would want to listen to as well. But yeah, sorry.
Yeah, positive. So yeah, but I mean, so I think the main thing is, you know, you've actually met them already and you've spent significant time together. That has to be number one. I have seen people who get into new relationships and pretty much from day one, they're ready to close the distance and they think this is it. And it may well be, but you can't tell from day one, and you shouldn't have any plans or expectations of closing the distance that early on. You need to have met in person. You need, because you know, I say all the time that there is a difference between the relationship you have and your, you know, what your ideal is, or your idea of that person may be different to who they really are, and you can get in your own way. You know, it's not a slight on them at all. They can be a fantastic person, but you can be building them up to be something that they're not, and ultimately it's not fair to either of you, because they'll be disappointed because they've done nothing wrong. They've got no idea how you built them up in your mind. So they'll be let down when things don't work. And then equally, you're making things harder for yourself when they don't live up to what you think they are. And eventually that will happen. You know, that's a house of cards, isn't it? That's going to crumble down. So I think absolutely need to have met first. You need to have some miles on that relationship. You need to know you get on in person. You know, but it's also why you're doing it. You know, we've spoken before about catfishing and some of those risks. So when it comes to closing the distance, the big risk is it may not work out. Are you going to be stuck? This isn't such a problem if you're moving domestically. You know, if you're going from one state to another, one part of the country to another, it's normally easier to get back. But if you're emigrating, you're moving to another country, may or may not be language barriers. You know, if your whole new life is in that person, you haven't got other family and friends there, that's okay. I mean, that's what you did, but it's good to just kind of know what your options are. And it's not to plan for the worst, but it's just, okay, yeah, do you know what? I've got enough money in the bank that I can get a plane ticket home if I need to. Or, oh, yeah, I've got relatives that live in this town if I need them. It's just having something in your back pocket that says, if this all goes to shit, I've got options. So when you're considering moving, and if you haven't got those options, then it's a case of making them. So, you know, the obvious one is going to be save up an extra, I don't know, $1,000, $2,000 that you just have tucked away for an emergency plane ticket if you need it. Things like that, you know, because unfortunately things do happen where someone changes or they're not who they say they are, and you don't want to be one of these people that gets stuck in a relationship where you've got nothing, you're completely dependent on this person. If they walk out on you, have you got enough money to find somewhere to live, to eat, to get home, you know, so things like that. You know, then there's the practicalities of how do I move to this country? Some of them are going to have easier visa processes than others, right? Some of them, like, you couldn't work for 6 months.
Yeah.
We had to prove we could support you for that period of time. And knowing what your career prospects are in that country so that you know, okay, when I get there, I can't work for 6 months, or I can do this straight away. I'm going to try and get a job. You can even try and line a job up in advance. Yeah, and I think the big takeaway from this episode is going to be, you know, it's when you meet in person, it's a big holiday, isn't it? Like, that was our struggle. It's like, this is just amazing. It's time off work. We're just doing what we want all the time. Closing the distance is real life. And you have to think of the practicalities, the responsibilities, day-to-day life, what's it going to look like?
Yeah. But, and so taking a step back then, you know, if you guys are at the point where it's kind of either sink or swim, you need to either take the step, move in together, close that distance, or kind of think, do you know what? You know, this has been great, or this hasn't worked out, whatever. I mean, what conversations need to take place? What kind of deductive exercises, you know, do you need to go through? And I think hopefully you've had the conversation, you know, if you've been in a long distance relationship for a while and you've been back and forth, and, you know, you probably would have had the conversation about what makes most sense in terms of who's going to move. And we do have an episode on that too, deciding who's going to move. So we'll have to find the number for that one and put it in the show notes. But I mean, yeah, I think it's really hard to answer that because everyone's situation is going to be different. I think, first of all, you need to both decide, like, yeah, okay, we have our issues, we have our problems, but being honest with each other, do we think that closing the distance is going to help? And in some situations, it will. You know, if you don't have any huge issues, you know, like cheating or, you know, I don't know, trust issues, you know, whatever that might be, then, you know, there is a chance that closing that distance is going to make a big difference and make it a lot easier on you. But really, you just have to talk. And I think what Rich was touching on, kind of have that contingency plan of, okay, if this doesn't go right, you need to talk about that together. And I think sometimes just putting these doubts and these concerns out on the table and talking about it gives the opportunity for each of you to address that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just to pick up again on that, because, you know, we've had a lot of these conversations with people. I know that...
We had them ourselves,
but I know there'll be people listening to this who will say, oh no, this person wouldn't leave me. I don't need to have that contingency plan because they're perfect. It's not just a case of them doing anything. I mean, you know, to get extreme about it, you know, something could happen to them. You know, what if they had an accident and were unable to work, or you know, it was fatal? You know, these things do happen. We don't like to think about them, but they happen. And, you know, we've touched on those conversations. You know, your contingency plan is, if I'm no longer around, there's not much purpose for you staying in this country and you'd go back to America. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a conversation that's not pleasant, but we've had it and we've spoken about it. And there comes a point, you know, to get back to practicalities and responsibilities, where you think, you know, we've had conversations around life insurance and, mm-hmm. and things like that. You have to have those conversations so these points come up. So
it's that aspect that we talk about, that sometimes your relationship is business.
Yeah, so it's not just a case of, oh, I trust him or her, they would never leave me, they'd never cheat, I haven't got to worry about that. You know, they may not come home from work one day. Where does that leave you? And, you know, if it's not a thought process you're currently prepared to entertain, that's probably an indication that closing the distance may not be the right time for you yet, because these are things you have to take into account.
And I think it depends, because, you know, when I first came over here to meet Rich and spend time together, we did have sort of contingency plans. Obviously, the first summer we were supposed to come and meet, we were a bit younger. We were both 20, and our neighbor, I think we've mentioned this before in previous episodes, my parents' neighbor where I lived, you know, with my parents, she was English. She had family that lived not too far from where Rich's family left. So when I was younger and my parents were like, you know, I was a bit not under their thumb, but they were still very involved. You know, I was 20 there, you know, I was living at home making decisions with them. You know, my neighbor said, oh, here, you know, give Andrea my brother's contact information. He lives half an hour away from where Rich's family lives. If for whatever reason she doesn't feel comfortable or it just doesn't work out, they don't like each other, you know, she has an out. Then when we actually did meet a few years later, we didn't really have that. You know, we've been talking so much longer, we didn't feel we really needed it. But your mom said to me, like, you know, just in case you're nervous or you need some space to yourself, you know, I have made the guest bedroom up for you. It's ready for you if you're not comfortable, whatever. So while we doubted we needed that, it felt good for me to know that, like, you know what, if I'm nervous or if for whatever reason I'm not sure, I get a weird vibe off of this guy in person, I have my own space. And then I knew, like, I had enough money in my bank account that I could, if this isn't right, I can get on an earlier flight and go home. Or I had money to get myself a hotel. It would have been awful and awkward, but I could have done it. Now, we didn't really have that when I moved here too much. I mean, I think we were so sure of it by then. You know, we were engaged. I was coming over here to plan a wedding. And I think the only uncertainty was kind of, oh, what's our life going to look like? You know, will we be happy staying here? Will we end up moving back to America at some point? But there was never the, is this worth it? Is it going to work out? I'm moving. I mean, there was fear and anxiety, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, we had, there was a couple of things I think come into play for us. One of them was we had all that time behind us. And we also knew by then that both of our families were supportive enough that, you know,
yeah.
we already knew very well that if there was any trouble on either side, our families would help, you know, and like you said, you knew you had the money to buy a ticket if you needed to. So we knew we weren't like stuck in this situation if it got to that. But also, you know, there are, it's easy for us to look back on this now in our 30s, having had those lessons, and generally, you know, as you get older, you get a bit more conservative about things. You know, we were early 20s when we did this, so it's quite fun to sort of fly by the seat of your pants, and I'd never tell anyone not to do that. Sometimes there's a great thrill in just saying, let's just see if we can do this. As long as in the back of your mind you know that it's not going to be damaging to the rest of your life if it doesn't work out, then go for it and have fun. And, you know, worst case is you're going to make probably some great memories.
And some great mistakes that you're going to learn from.
Great mistakes, great experiences. You'll have a lot you can look back on. You'll have great fun doing it. So, you know, us talking now about the things that could go wrong is us talking more parentally of, like, you know, be careful. But at the same time, it's important just to know when you're... And this is a very different conversation. If you're 17 and still living at home and under your parents' control, if you're 50 and you have more... moving when you're 50 means giving up normally a lot more. Like, you're going to leave a job. You maybe leave in a house that you own. Like, that's different. If you're in that sweet spot, which is normally 20s-ish, you've got the luxury where you can really just say, I'm going to give this a try. And if it doesn't work out, no big deal.
Yeah.
And it's kind of just do it, you know. So if that's you listening to this and you're just kind of hung up on the what ifs and the maybes and what if it doesn't work out, but actually there's no great risk to anything else for you to do it, just do it.
And I think, yeah, totally. And on that, I think it's worth noting that there's never a guarantee that anything is going to work out. A job, pursuing a degree, a move for other reasons, and including closing the distance to be with someone. You know, you could end up getting married, being happily together for 10 years, and then divorcing. You could move and 2 months later think, this isn't right, and then decide you want to break up. Like,
there's also never a perfect time to do this.
Well, and this is the thing, but you can't... I was totally... That's crazy you said that. Timing was my next point. So no, there's never a perfect time, but there is a better time. So if you are with your partner and you're talking and you've got, say, a year left in a degree or a certification, I'd say wait if you're that close to it. If you're at a point where you're just about to start a new something, a new job, a new career path, maybe go ahead and get the move in before you start that. Or start it and give yourself a year or two. It depends what you want your timeline to look like. Yeah,
the education one's interesting too, because sometimes you can do that final year in another country.
Yeah.
And then that's not only going to help you with, you know, your closing distance, then you're going to be having, like, a tremendous learning experience of having that education in another country, in another system.
Yeah.
You know, for a lot of us, we grow up in one country. We don't... That's a tremendous luxury to say, oh, I actually, you know, yeah, I studied the first 2 years in America or England, but then I finished it in France. That's an experience that most people don't get. You're not having any detriment there because you're still finishing that course. But yeah, I think what you're saying is important here, that you don't want to give anything up, especially something where you think, can I come back? If it doesn't work out, can I finish it? You know, these are things that can have ramifications later on. You know, if you've been studying this degree, whatever it may be, and you don't finish it, that's going to impact the career choices that you probably had in mind. And, you know, it's just important to be sensible about what you do and why you're doing it. and what does it mean? Are you giving it up to be a housewife, for example? Well, then what if that's not? Is that just because you're excited at the prospect of being with this person? What happens when that wears off in 12 months?
Yeah, and I think it's looking for the right timing, not the perfect timing.
Yeah.
And perfect timing never exists. You know, for us, it wasn't the right timing. We were 20 years old. You know, neither of us had steady income. We were living in dorms or with our parents, and, you know, things, we weren't going to be able to see each other the way we wanted to. It'd probably be at least a year, if not more, between seeing each other. And, you know, the hard call was made that...
And like we've always said, the technology wasn't there like it is now.
Yeah, and we had no idea what things were going to become like.
For us to see each other once a year meant most of a lot of our conversations would have been, you know, physical. We were using physical phone cards sometimes.
Yeah, or just instant messenger type stuff. Instant
messenger emails. It was very different.
Yeah, it was much less personal than you can make it now. So, you know, the timing wasn't right for us. And then fast forward 3 years, three and a bit years, you know, we were both done with uni. I had a steady income. Rich was starting his own business. And we had the luxury of time because I had summers off and, you know, we had a bit more money. We would have the means to see each other more. So we pursued that relationship then. And, you know, so I think talking about that timing is really important and almost making a bit of a timeline or roadmap for how you see this working and having something to work towards. You know, a lot of what you see in long distance relationships is, oh yeah, we're going to close the distance. It's like, okay, well, what does that look like for you?
Mm.
You know, like anything in life. Yeah. One day we're going to do this. One day we're going to buy this size house. So we're going to buy a Maserati or, okay, that's great. And it's great to have things to dream about. But if it's something you actually want to do, you got to put a goal in place. And I think we've talked about this before in a recent episode, aligning your future visions and working backwards from that. And what does that look like? You need to do that for long distance. And that might show you a little bit, you know, if you guys are having a hard time deciding whether or not you should close the distance and make that big commitment, start it when you ideally would like to do that and work backwards and look at what that plan looks like. And if it doesn't line up, but if it doesn't make sense and it's starting to look too hard, or one of you has too many issues with it, or one of you has too many buts or ifs, that might show you that, okay, this might not work, or this plan may not work.
Mm.
Let's look at a different goal. Maybe we close the distance at this time in this way, and that might look better to you. So a lot of it is just really dissecting the situation and taking the romance out of it. I know that sounds really blah and realistic, but that's what it is. You know, I think the older you get and the more experience you have in relationships, a lot more of it is about the logistics and practicality than it is the romance. The romance is there. You have to make it. It remains, but it's not what holds things together after a certain point.
No.
So think about the timing, not the perfect timing, the right timing, and work backwards. Put your plan together. And if you then start to see cracks in that plan, you know, it's maybe that's not right, or maybe you need to shift things. But I think, you know, the person that was messaging us asked about, like, you know, it's a big commitment. They live on opposite sides of the United States, so there's probably something like at least 3,000 miles between them. How do you know when it's right to make that big commitment when you've had maybe problems or issues in the past and you don't know if it's going to impact things in the future? Well, you need to do a lot of talking. And I think in some situations, you know, it depends on a heck of a lot. But if you can trial something like semi-long term, that might be the best option. So when you're living that far from each other, you probably see each other maybe every few weeks or every couple months for maybe a week or a long weekend kind of situation. If you can somehow arrange it so that you have 2 or 3 months together in the same space, now again, that's really hard, but if you're in university and one of you has the summer off still, or one of you's doing a job where you can take a sabbatical, or you might have a period between jobs, so maybe you save up and then take some time off, that might be an option, because it almost gives you like, it gives you a chance to play house, and living together for 2 or 3 months gives you much more of an insight of what it's going to be like to be together long-term than a weekend or a week here and there. And then you'll start to see how you guys will handle issues that you would handle as a couple in the same place for a longer period of time. So that might mean bills, you know, I mean, it's going to, there's a lot into this, you know, if one of you's taking time off work to spend time, you know, you'll have to talk about how you're going to work your finances during that time. But the day-to-day, who's going to be cooking, who's going to be cleaning, who's, you know, it gives you a glimpse into what your life could look like potentially. And I think if there's a way to make that happen, that can answer a lot of questions for people. But I know not everyone's going to be able to do that.
Mm.
If you can't, then that kind of goes back to more just the deep conversations, the putting a plan in place and really working backwards and just seeing what things can look like. But I think it really goes back to what you said a bit ago, that sometimes it's just give it a try, see what happens. You know, don't guarantee yourself anything. I think because of long distance relationships, because you can't be casual in most cases, as we've said many times, it ends up being quite a serious relationship from the get-go. So you might give that way bigger expectations or way bigger kind of, I don't know, you might just expect a lot more out of it when you close the distance. Whereas if you're just dating someone, you're able to say, you know, who lives in the same town, you're able to say, well, go out a few times, see what happens. If it doesn't work out, okay, you know, then it didn't work out. So try to look at it almost in a similar way. Like, okay, I'm going to find a way to give this a try. And if it doesn't work out, you know, I don't know. I really believe in the meant to be thing. Like, if you can make it work, then you will. And if you can't, it won't work.
Well, and we're also talking a lot about talking to each other. You know, it's okay to talk to other people too, but particularly with this, it's important to have a good filter on who you're listening to and where they're coming from, because there will be some people who give you all the reasons not to do it just because they don't want you to go, and that's not a reason not to go. But that's not to say that none of them are going to have any, you know, there's this big thing right now, and I hate it, of, you know, just calling people haters if they have, and they can have valid points, but it's just like, no, I don't want to hear that, so I'm just going to call you a hater. It's very dismissive and I hate it. So yeah, there are going to be people who just don't want you to go, and they're going to really try and plant seeds of doubt in your mind, but there can also be valid concerns that they may have, you know, and your parents are an obvious one here, they're not going to want you to go, but maybe they've got valid points. Equally, there are going to be people who you may not expect it, who say to you, yeah, go, try it, have fun, you know. So you can listen to other people, you need to take everything on board, but try and have that filter of thinking, okay, well, are you just saying this for your reasons? You know, maybe you're not having my best life at heart, but yours. But equally, just be, you know, kind of careful and just think, okay, actually, that is a good point. I need to think about that. It doesn't mean you don't do it, but maybe it gives you something to think about, and you say, I'm going to factor that into my contingencies. I'm going to ask that question of my partner. You know, just be sensible with that, I think.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's also important that when you do decide if it is or isn't time to close the distance, that your lives are more connected than just each other. You know, you're touching on friends and family. You know, ideally, it's great if your friends and family have met, or if not, talk to each other, because obviously with distance, you know, your family may not be traveling back and forth with you across with this person. But, you know, this person should be more in your life than just the relationship you share with them. Because, you know, when one of you moves, their extended life is yours. And then also, when you do go home to visit and they come with you, it's not like just going over to dinner for the in-laws when you live down the street. It's now staying with them for maybe weeks at a time. And so you need to have some familiarity. You need to have some understanding. You know, some conversations beforehand will be really good. So, I don't know. It's a really complex situation that's going to vary from everyone's situation. But unfortunately, there's no simple answer. But I think hopefully some of the things we've talked over and some of the things in the previous episodes we've mentioned will give you an idea. But I think it's time, you know, if you're at this point, it's time to just stop the, yeah, we're going to close the distance, and actually look at it and look at the plan and ask the hard questions. And don't be afraid to demand, especially if you're the one that's likely to be the one moving. Don't be afraid to say, you know, if I move, I'm going to need you to do this. Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah. And again, you know, really encourage you to pick up our guide on this, because there's much more detail than we're able to go into in these episodes, but there's also actionable advice on what conversations to have, how to have them, how to approach them, things you can do to encourage closeness and intimacy while you're apart. You know, these things really help strengthen your relationship immediately, but then that also sets a really good foundation for when you do close that distance, because it's going to be hard. And again, you know, the section we've got on closing the distance helps to manage your expectations of what to expect, the good and the bad. You know, the conversations that we had that we learned from, you will have similar, if not exactly the same ones. The thing is, no one ever prepared us for them, and we kind of blundered into them and had to kind of figure it out. You know, so we want to help you know how to do that. So the guide, you get it on our website under the resources section, and anyone who's struggling with, well, really any section of closing, of being long distance, but anyone who's having these thoughts or conversations around closing the distance, when to do it, what to think about, what to prepare for, there are so many answers in there for you.
Yeah, and I think kind of the last closing thing on top of that is, you know, if these are conversations you and your partner are having and you're really trying to figure out if it's worth it to close the distance and if that's the direction that your relationship's going to take you, your gut and your intuition is able to tell you a lot.
Mm.
You know, if you're having these conversations constantly and you feel like you need so much convincing from your partner that it's going to work, you know, you could have some really deep-seated doubts that could mean that maybe you won't work through it or that you need to address them before you try. If you really feel like, you know what, like, yeah, it's hard, but we're going to make it, and you've obviously talked about those stumbling blocks and problems, and maybe it is time to just go ahead and give it a try. But I think whatever sticking points there are on your mind about it that's making you not sure it's worth it, you need to examine that and find out why you're feeling that way. Because, you know, people say when it comes to the right person, when you know, you know, and I think, you know, we certainly had that, but not every step of the way.
Mm.
There was a lot of guesswork and a lot of question marks and a lot of not knowing how it was going to work out. And that's okay. Like, if you are thinking right now that, oh, you know, I have concerns, I have doubts, that must mean it's not right, that's not necessarily exactly what it means. You know, it's normal to have doubts, especially when you're facing, you know, more obstacles because you're in long distance than people who aren't. So a lot of deep reflection, a lot of being honest with yourself and honest with your partner, looking at resources like our guide and talking to people around you, and just really make this decision something you're actively working on and actively trying to pick apart as a problem.
Yeah.
And see where you get to. It may not answer your question straight away. It's probably going to be an overtime kind of thing that you unravel piece by piece. And don't try and rush to close the distance because you want to get it over with. You know, make sure you look at it in an adult way, I think, is the most important thing. So hopefully that's kind of helped a bit with the person who contacted us. Again, it's not specific to anyone's situation. Hopefully it's helped other people too. We're always happy to take suggested topics from listeners and try and help you if we can. You can always reach us on our website, longdistancemarriage.com, our Twitter and Instagram profiles at Mr. and Mrs. Distance, or you can just search the name of the podcast and find us that way.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, hopefully you guys can figure some stuff out based on that. Anything else we need to cover? Any admin?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Have a good week, everyone. Bye.